You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, February 1st, 2021. I'm your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Tim Gettys.
Bless, I'm feeling good, man. Coming off a great weekend. Right now, it's me, Bless, and Kevin Coelho doing Kind of Funny Games Daily. What a Monday to be alive.
What a Monday.
Sonic the Hedgehog show? What?
We got shit to talk about. Kevin, what was it that you said right before we started the show?
I got the devil inside me.
I love Kevin so much. I love that Kevin always throws us for a loop right before we start the show. I appreciate it.
It's Tim. Groundhog's Day Eve, Blessing. What are you going to do to celebrate? Yeah.
I didn't have any plans.
Come on, Bless.
What
it's
I'll
Carol's
probably
birthday.
Do.
Bless, it's Carol's birthday tomorrow. Everyone knows that.
Oh, it's Carol's
day. Carol's birthday, same day.
Damn. And some, I mean, tomorrow's a big day. I might, you know what I might do tonight to celebrate? I might watch Indiana Jones, the first
one. To get ready for In Review this week, your first ever In Review series?
Yeah. All this Indiana Jones, a series that I've never really cared about, but now that we're doing an In Review, I'm very excited to actually jump into. Because this is like
the
only
best
excuse.
Way, though. Yeah, it's it's tailored around it where it's like we need the fresh perspective.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to bring a 2020 perspective into Indiana Jones. So I'm very excited for that. Of course, that's happening, this Thursday? This Thursday for people? Look out for that In Review of Indiana Jones. But this is In Review. Tim, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. So let's talk about some video game news like Switch sales surpassing 3DS, MLB The Show coming to Xbox, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, and correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you. Thank you to everyone who came through over the weekend during our second 12-hour live stream. We had various goals, such as me and Andy playing scary games, Greg hosting an episode of The Blessing Show, and more. Isn't that right, Tim?
Oh, it's damn right. We hit them all. Smashed it.
Did we hit them all?
So stoked. I mean, we hit them all of the we hit the stretch goals. We got up to the 100K, which is the most.
Oh, wait.
I
didn't realize we got up to the 100K.
Wild. Yeah, that's wild.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. We got to the 100, baby.
Oh,
my
God.
We got to the second Greg Miller Community Podcast-a-thon.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's actually very exciting, because that means way more things are happening than I even realized.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Look forward to that.
Very cool stuff.
I can't wait for the Greg Miller Community Podcast-a-thon, because that's something where, before I got hired at Kind of Funny, that's something I would have dreamed of. Are those being hosted on Twitch also?
On our Twitch, yeah. The plan is Greg will do a whole day, two whole days now, with different community podcasts, and they'll be able to do whatever they want with them, obviously, but also it'll be on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames for the exposure and shout outs and all that.
That is awesome. Of course, if you missed out and you want to know what supporting can get you, you can head over to kindoffunny.com/Patreon and check out the perks over there. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Graham of Legend, David Mintel, Trent Berry, Blackjack, Louise Aguiar, James Davis, and the Nanobiologist. Today we're brought to you by Brook Linen and Honey, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. Nintendo Switch has sold nearly 80 million units. 80 million units. This is from Christopher Dring at GamesIndustry.biz. Nintendo Switch has eclipsed the lifetime sales of the 3DS in less than 4 years, Nintendo has said. The firm revealed in its latest financial report that 79.87 million Switch devices have been shipped worldwide. The console is currently Nintendo's fifth best-selling machine behind the Nintendo DS with 154 million, Nintendo Wii with 101.6 million, the Game Boy with 118.7 million, and the Game Boy Advance with 81.5 million. In terms of sell-through, meaning in the hands of consumers, Switch sales are at around 74 million, Nintendo estimates. 532.34 million Switch games have been sold since its release in March 2017, putting it behind just the DS with 948.72 million software sales and the Wii with 921.85 million software sales. The sales figures are part of the company's latest financials for the 9 months ending December 31st, 2020, where the firm has already hit its annual net sales target of $13.4 billion, a 37% increase over the year before. I'm going to say that again, a 37% increase over the year before. Nintendo Switch has shipped 24.1 million units over the nine-month period, a rise of 36% compared with the same period the year prior, and making it the most successful sales period for the console to date. 16.7 million was of the normal Switch variant, with the remaining 7.3 million being the Switch Lite device. 24 million was the company's previous estimate, and Nintendo says it will ship 26.5 million by the end of March. I know what you're thinking, blah, 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 hardware sales, blah, blah, blah. Give me that good stuff. What are the Switch software sales? Well, I got you. We got the top 10 Switch software titles. I'm going to start at number 10 with New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe at 9.82 million units. Number 9, Splatoon 2 at 11.90 million units.
Hold on.
Number
stop.
I'll stop there. What's up?
Number 10, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe at 9.82 million. That's almost 10 million copies of a Wii U launch game.
It does, the craziness doesn't stop. Also, I want to point out, I don't even need to get there because people can probably already assume this. Mario Maker isn't on this list. Somehow, New Super Mario Bros. U demolished the Mario Maker numbers. Mario Maker is somewhere around 6 million, which surprises me, but I guess it's all in the name, right? Like, New Super Mario Bros. Is an easier thing to sell than Mario Maker, even though, theoretically, in my mind, Mario Maker is just infinite Mario, infinite 2D Mario, and so, like, why wouldn't that sell more?
Because I think the idea of, you know, parents buying kind of a finished, completed game that the kids themselves don't have to make is kind of like an easier sell. And plus the multiplayer and all that, which there's a multiplayer in Mario Maker, but it's different. Like this,
it's different.
Designed around the idea of a bunch of dumb kids sitting on a couch playing together, you know?
But also, like, there's 100, like, Nintendo levels in Mario Maker. Again, like, difficult thing to sell and communicate to parents, but.
Totally. But here's the thing. You're saying this, like, that you're surprised. 6 million is still a fuck ton of units sold for Mario Maker 2. So, sure, it's not in the top 10. But oh my God, that is a
100%. So that's number 10. Number 9, Splatoon 2 at 11.9 million units. Number 8 is Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee at 13 million units. Number 7, Super Mario Party at 13.82 million units.
Wow.
Number 6, Super Mario Odyssey at 20.23 million units. Number 5, we got Pokemon Sword and Shield for 20.35 million units. Number 4, Zelda Breath of the Wild at 21.45 million units. Number 3, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate at 22.85 million units. And then number 2, at number 2 is Animal Crossing New Horizons at 31.18 million units.
In one
Animal Crossing
year,
New Horizons.
In less than a year. It came out, what, late March, right?
Yeah. In 9 months.
In nine months, fucking months.
Sold 31 million units.
On a piece of hardware that there are only...
about 80 million units of.
80 million units out there.
That's almost 50% penetration. Like, it is approaching that.
Totally.
In less than nine months, man. It's fucked up. And then at number 1 to round all this out is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe at 33.41 million units. And so not that far ahead of Animal Crossing New Horizons, which very, very likely will become the number 1 selling Switch title
when it's all said and done. Within days. Imran Khan joins the chat. What's up, dude?
I had to point this out because I feel like this is important to notice. Animal Crossing New Horizons has outsold the entire Metroid series. All of it.
Jesus.
In 9 months. God, That is insane.
There are a lot of places we can start with this list.
Totally.
go for it, Tim. Go for it.
Look, just looking at this list, though, it really does speak to, you know, quality matters. When you put out quality exclusive titles, they will sell. That there's rare exception on this list. I do feel like Super Mario Party stands out as kind of, it's definitely not the best Mario Party, whereas a lot of these are up there in the conversation of best in the franchise. And then Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee. I am surprised they're this high. Like, I remember they sold well, but not nearly as well as the traditional standard core Pokemon game. But damn, they're making it, they're squeaking into the top 10 when we just established, like, we're talking a top 10 of legends.
Yeah. Pokemon, I think, is an interesting one to point out, because that was one of the things I noticed when this list dropped. Is Pokemon Sword and Shield is number 5 at 20 million units. And if you asked me, say, a year ago, I would have expected Pokemon Sword and Shield to be either top 1 or top 2 in terms of software sales. And I wonder if that lines up with how Game Freak expected it to do. Or I wonder if they expected it to do better. Even Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee at 13 million units strikes me as somewhat, I guess, low on the total. Like, it's high overall when you look at the numbers. Like, 13 million units is a lot of units. But when you look at the totem pole of number 8 in terms of top software titles, I would have expected a core Pokemon title to do better.
So
really well. Like, it's, I want to say it's probably on track to be the best-selling Pokemon title at some point.
Like no one ever was.
It's going to catch them all, blessing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I think that with the Pokemon games, they always kind of just sell over the course of the entire life cycle of whatever the device is. And so I think that Sword and Shield and Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee are just going to keep creeping. But whenever the next Pokemon game comes out, I think it's going to have an even higher base. But the thing is, like Imran just said, it's like, just off the top of this, like, I should probably Google this and look it up, but I'm pretty sure that Sword and Shield, with these numbers, it already puts it above any of the recent Pokemon games. And those were on the 3DS that had a much bigger install base at the time that the things came out. It's number 3. Okay.
So it's like a red and green, or red and blue, whatever. Then gold, silver.
Gold and silver. Okay, yeah. 3 million. That makes sense, because the Game Boy install library. So, or install base. Why do I keep saying library? But yeah, that's absolutely nuts. So I do think that contextually within the rules that the Switch has presented, these Pokemon numbers do seem low. Because, like, if the attach rate of something like Animal Crossing is so high, it's weird that Pokemon isn't similarly booming.
Yeah.
But,
and that's my thing, is I would have expected it to be reverse, where Pokemon would be the one selling 30 million software sales, and Animal Crossing would be the one selling, like, 18 million or even 13 million. Animal Crossing doing this well is something that is so unprecedented. Because Animal Crossing, before Animal Crossing New Horizons, like, people loved Animal Crossing, but it did feel like this more niche thing where, like, if you're an Animal Crossing fan, you're an Animal Crossing fan, and everybody else is kind of like, cool, they're having fun over there on their Animal Crossing islands, pun intended. But Animal Crossing New Horizons brought it up to a level that I don't think even Nintendo would have predicted. Like, now it is a mainstream hit.
There's two things, like, the numbers kind of lie here. So one thing you need to consider is, like, in terms of Pokemon sales, this is the most expensive Pokemon has ever been. It is $60 per copy. So, like, even if it's not selling as much as a previous Pokemon game, it is also, like, 3 times the cost.
Yeah, maybe, but also, probably making more money.
Between Pokemon and Animal Crossing, you have to consider the fact that Animal Crossing all of the updates up until, like, so far have been free. Pokemon has two expansion pass of 2 campaigns of DLC. So in terms of money made, I'm almost positive Sword and Shield is probably the best, like, the most revenue-generating Pokemon game, period.
Okay. Yeah. What about the most revenue-driving game on this list? Would that be Smash Ultimate?
It would probably be Smash Ultimate, or if you want to consider return on investment, it's either New Super Mario Brothers or Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is probably, yeah.
Well, yeah, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is literally just like, hey,
it's the same game.
33 million units. Man.
That's crazy.
Nintendo, I can't wait till you start releasing games again. That's going to be so fun.
Dude, I want to pull in a couple of interesting fun stats from our friend on Twitter, Daniel Ahmad at ZugeEX, who tweets some stats of the day, starting with the Nintendo Switch Lite. The Nintendo Switch Lite is has sold 13.53 million units in terms of hardware sales, and that is compared to the Wii U, which sold 13.56 million units. So the Nintendo Switch Lite is almost outselling the Wii U alone.
Yeah,
Then approximately 39% of all Nintendo Switch owners have a copy of Animal Crossing New Horizons, with, you know, the sales numbers there being 31.18 million units, with the overall Switch hardware sales being almost 80 million units. And so that's a fun fact right there. And then if you want to compare how the Switch is doing compared to other consoles, compared to other Nintendo consoles after the first 46 months, Nintendo DS at around this time was at 83 million. And again, this is compared to Switch's, was it 79.9 million? 79.9 yeah, million?
Right under 80.
Wii at this time was around 75 million. 3DS at this time was around 50 million. And Wii U, obviously, or of course, was around 13 million. And so, right now, Switch neck and neck, a little bit neck and neck with the Nintendo DS.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty crazy. And it's, you know, thinking about the Switch, we're in a really weird time right now of 2021, about to be hitting March. Like, 4 years with this console is, it feels simultaneously like a long time, and like we're just getting started. You know, it's kind of it's a weird place where I feel like the only real puttering out the Switch has is releasing like a quantity of new games. Like the last couple of years, we saw a bunch of, you know, at least from January to December, there'd be six new titles or something, and that's kind of dwindled down to about two a year. But I think a lot of that also has to do with ports, and we're just like running out of things to port. Like at this point, with 3D World coming out, there's very, very little that's stuck on the Wii U, and we're at the point that the things that are stuck on the Wii U are Zelda ports from other consoles.
Yeah, or SNES Remix, which I've been waiting on, and I've given up hope on. But yeah, no, it's been this is even more fascinating given that last year for Nintendo seems like a year that was a down year aside from Animal Crossing. Like the whole fall felt pretty empty. You know, we had Hyrule Warriors, we had Super Mario 3D All-Stars, but I feel like it was very apparent that stuff got shifted because of COVID and all that. And even with that, the software sales and hardware sales for Switch are still rising. I'm going to bring in a question here from the nanobiologist who writes in and says, "Hey guys, so wild numbers from Nintendo. Crazy is probably being 31 million sold for Animal Crossing New Horizons in less than a year. The biggest question is, can this only be attributed to the quarantine? Would Animal Crossing New Horizons even remotely hit these numbers if you weren't all sad and missing going outside right when quarantine started, as well as slowly getting stir crazy as the quarantine went on? Did Nintendo miss out on many more opportunities for possibly holding rumored games like Metroid Prime Trilogy, Legend of Zelda Remasters, Mario Party DLC? Thanks, the nanobiologist." How do we feel about quarantine's effect on Nintendo?
I think it's kind of a mix, because I do think that there are a lot of copies of Animal Crossing sold to people during quarantine that would have not ever bought it or a Switch without quarantine. I think because of that, that means that the lack of new games isn't necessarily the worst thing, because they had such a backlog of games to be able to go back and play. I know personally three or four people that bought a Switch for Animal Crossing during the stay-at-home stuff, and then also got Mario Kart, and also got Smash Brothers, and also got Mario Odyssey. So it's like, and Breath of the Wild, kind of going back into the library that the Switch already has of established games that the price still hasn't fucking dropped because it's Nintendo. So it's new to them.
Yeah, I think Animal Crossing doing this well was probably inevitable. I think obviously it's doing all these software sales are doing better than they would have because of quarantine and a lot of stuff. I think despite quarantine, Animal Crossing was due for blowing up. I think it's just been one of those things where it's never really had the proper shot at being on a system that had wide penetration. Animal Crossing New Leaf was on the 3DS. Everybody had 3DS. So I, like, you know, it was going to do well on there, but the Switch, I feel like being a different kind of beast when it comes to how everyone has one, right? Like Nintendo only has to focus on one system as opposed to multiple. And Animal Crossing kind of being able to live and breathe and be its own centerpiece on the system that is doing super well, mm-hmm. is allowing it to kind of have its moment and blow up in the way that it probably wasn't able to before, because it was either on the 3DS or on the Wii or on the GameCube, right? Like finally Animal Crossing is kind of have its moment.
Hold up.
And so like
New Leaf sold 12 million copies. That is not a like small number. Granted 30 million is result of quarantine, but it's not like Animal Crossing was not a huge success before this. It was just like 12 million is more than like most Sony first party games sell.
Yeah. But 30 million is something else though. Like 30 almost having 50% penetration is like this is magic now. Like now this might be our biggest franchise. Which is crazy to think about.
That's the thing, is like once you start talking about 30 million, it's like how many games period have even sold that much? You know? Like that God. That's like Mario Kart, Wii.
New Super Mario Brothers, Wii, GTA, Tetris, Minecraft.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Animal Crossing is in that conversation.
And then Mario Kart now. Mario Kart 8. Which is, also, I guess if you combine the two Mario Kart 8s, I'm sure that gets it even higher.
Oh, yeah. 100%. But then also to Daniel Balaj's question, right, of like, what would it like? Did Nintendo miss out on more opportunities, like putting out Metroid Prime Trilogy or other games? I think that all of this kind of does come down to quarantine's effects on us, where Nintendo, very obviously, I think, was supposed to put out games late last year and wasn't able to because stuff got shifted around with work from home and all that. And so even if they wanted to capitalize, I don't think that decision was really in their hands. As much as quarantine helped their sales, that did push around things.
It's also not a magic bullet. Like Xenoblade came out in May and it didn't do, I mean, it did fine. It was the third release of that game, but like it didn't outsell Xenoblade 2, which you would have figured it would based on like the proportional sales of say Age of Calamity and Mario 3D All-Stars and Animal Crossing. So mm-hmm. like quarantine, it's not going to make a not compelling product compelling. It'll just enhance what's already there.
Totally.
For sure.
And I'm so interested in what this ends up looking like. Like, when does the Nintendo drought change? Does it ever?
Nintendo drought in terms of like software not coming out right now?
Yeah.
I think that changes this year. I want to say like we get a direct, but I at this point I don't know how Nintendo feels about directs because we haven't gotten a traditional direct in forever, and so who knows if we ever get a direct again. But I think we start seeing those software teases soon, because I think at this point as Nintendo you've probably adjusted somewhat to work from home and quarantine and all that stuff, and stuff that was planned to come out this last fall is probably prepped to come out the upcoming fall. Now a thing that I haven't brought up, and actually this might be part of our next news story. Yes, it is part of our next news story. So let's go into story number two. Speaking of the Switch, Nintendo is not planning to announce a new Nintendo Switch model anytime soon. I'm going to pull from Joe Scrubbles at IGN. Nintendo has reportedly said that it isn't planning to announce a new model of the Switch anytime soon. In an investor Q&A following the announcement of Nintendo's latest earnings report, Bloomberg's Takashi Mochizuki reports that Nintendo president Shuntaro Furukawa was asked whether the company would announce an upgraded model of the Switch. His response, not anytime soon. That response has immediately led to discussion of whether it is or isn't a clue as to a feature announcement. Previously, Nintendo has offered more concrete denials of a new model, and Furukawa's apparent phrasing here leaves the door more open to an announcement at a later date. I very much believe that they are not going to announce a Nintendo Switch Pro anytime soon, given that Nintendo Switch sales, hardware sales, have been on the rise for the last year and might continue to see a rise. Like, Tim, to your question of the Nintendo drought, right? Like, we've had reports recently-ish that they're prepping for a software lineup to go alongside a new Nintendo Switch model. And all that is so up in the air right now to where I would have predicted that model was going to come this spring or this fall. I wouldn't be surprised to see that model come 2022. And with that being the case, what does that do to that software lineup? do they push that software lineup to still come out alongside that? Does that mean Breath of the Wild 2 doesn't come out until 2022 with a Switch Pro? Or do they go, fuck it, these games are ready, let's just put them out?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I have no idea. Like, there are no patterns that you can learn from Nintendo, because the more things change, the more they stay the same. But at the same time, it's pure chaos. And like, they can just at any moment just announce, oh, hey, remember the Switch? What's the core thing that makes the Switch the Switch? The fact that it could dock or not dock. Here's the Switch Lite. It's just a handheld. And you're like, all right, that's interesting. That goes against everything. Oh, hey, here's a 3DS that's 2D. You're like, oh, okay, I guess. Yeah. That's a thing, you know. And it's like, they'll say they're not going to announce something and then announce it a month later. They're like, well, we said not soon, it's a month. Like, I remember when we were like watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2, we got to go to like an early screener, and like while we were in the movie, Nintendo announced some new hardware. I don't even remember what it was. The 3DS XL? 3DS. No, the
new
3DS. Yeah, the new 3DS. It was like, all right, I guess. Wait, that's just what they're going to do
3DS,
right now.
Was there a 3DS XL and a new 3DS?
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And then there was one more, too. But
I mean, there was a 2DS and the 2DS XL.
Yeah.
It's also a new 2DS.
And it was also a new 2DS. Nintendo's ridiculous.
You know what? That's what it was. It was the new 2DS that was announced.
That's fucked up. I love it. Mm-hmm. Imran, where is your head at in terms of a Switch Pro and when we start to see a new slate of software?
I think it's coming. I think the Switch Pro is probably like ready, but I imagine that the software lineup is what's holding it up. Like, I just imagine Breath of the Wild 2 just not done right now. And like, that's going to be when that game is done is when a Switch Pro comes out. So like, if that gets delayed, then yeah. Nintendo has also been like, they've said, oh, we're not, I think it was the DS Lite, or maybe it was the, it was something. It was one handheld update where they outright said, we are not updating this. There will not be a new model. And then the next day they announced the new model.
Straight up. So like, I don't trust them at all here with this. Yeah. Like, there will be some form of Switch Pro. On our predictions episode of Gamescast that I did last week, I think. One of the things I was saying is I think that the Switch Pro is going to be way more of a next Switch that is also backwards compatible than just being a Switch Pro. Because I don't see Nintendo wanting to get rid of these software numbers. Like, they want to keep that ecosystem together for as long as possible.
Yeah.
But with that, it's like, yeah, you guys are right. Like, you need the games. So
when is the latest they can put out the next hardware model, whether it be a Switch Pro, a Switch 2, whatever it's called? When's the latest it can happen? Because for me, if I'm Nintendo in the situation right now in the current age, and we're seeing these hardware numbers, I am not releasing anything. I'm like, yo, let's ride this out, see how long we can ride this wave, and wait for any sort of dip before we put out anything else. In a world where these sales keep skyrocketing, what do you guys think is the latest they put out a new hardware model?
I think it depends on when PS4 games stop happening. Because if the logic is currently that Nintendo relies on third-party support from PS4 and Xbox One games being somewhat scalable to the Switch, then as soon as they make the Switch or the move to PS5 only and just drop out the PS4 stuff, then you run out of the ability, or you run out of road basically to put ports on the Switch. So like, there will be no, you know, whatever the sequel to Doom Eternal is going to be on the Switch as it is. But a Switch Pro, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you think that Nintendo really cares and relies on the third-party stuff? Because like, looking at these numbers, it's like, well, it's clear where the money's at. Like, there's no way the third-party games are selling nearly this well, even if you add them all up.
They sell decently. They sell enough that Nintendo keeps trying. Like, we haven't gotten a general direct in years, but we've gotten like, what, 4 partner directs? Like, they rely on third parties at this point to fill those holes. It's just, you know, how much longer can they rely on them? Especially, like, think about it from the other side, not what PS5 games can we port down, but what Switch games are we able to port up? Because most Switch stuff is like, let's take Monster Hunter Rise, for example. We know that's going to come to PC at some point. Like, you want to have Switch games that can port up to other consoles and to PC and still look good. Mm-hmm. And that's going to require, at some point, like, a better Switch model.
Totally. Yeah, it's... Bless, I see it from such a different perspective than you, where to me, I think that ASAP they got to get that thing out when it's ready, when they have the game lineup and all that. But like the moment they get a Switch Pro out with Breath of the Wild 2, you can kind of just start this slate of titles, sequels. And then it's just like you're just then getting even more money. Like if they made 30 plus million Mario Kart 8, what about Mario Kart 9? You know? And it's like for all the people that have, like, I have nothing to buy now on the Switch. So many people are like me that we've bought these games. We need new games to buy to keep these numbers going up.
Yeah. Nintendo's such an interesting company because I think I'm right there with you that I think it's kind of a double-edged sword of you want to get these new software titles out. You want to get Mario Odyssey 2 out there and Legend Breath of the Wild 2 out there and all these games. And that's probably stuff that is slated for a Switch Pro. But at the same time, you still want to ride the current success. And so it is that seesaw of, all right, you know, when's the exact perfect time to drop this thing? And I think if we're talking about latest, I would probably predict latest spring 2022. But maybe it's fall 2021. Like, who knows? I could see Nintendo looking at the tea leaves and being like, well, obviously we're doing so well in 2020 because of COVID and work from home and the video games industry overall seeing that spike. And so how much longer do we expect that to go for? Fall 2021 could be a reasonable time to drop, because as Nintendo you might predict that's when that fall off might start to happen. But again,
I think we'll get ahead of the other consoles too. Like right now there's nothing releasing, like, and there won't be for quite a while. So like assuming PS5 and Xbox Series X get on the right footing by fall, you don't want to wait too long after that to be like, also the Switch is, you know, we got a new Switch again, like our mm-hmm. better version of a Switch. Because at that point, like, all the air has been sucked out of the room.
Totally. That's so true. And the other thing working the other way is the just actual production of the hardware itself. Like, I guarantee Nintendo does not want to put the Switch Pro out to only be able to sell a certain amount when they could be selling millions more. It's just they simply can't make enough. And I think that is going to be a problem, as we're seeing with the PS5 and Xbox, for the foreseeable future.
Last question before we move on to the next news story. What do they call it? Is it the Switch Pro? Do they call it the Super Switch? Do they call it the new Switch?
God, the fucking new Switch.
The new Nintendo Switch.
Like, I can't imagine being the guy that came up with the new branding at Nintendo. Where they're just in the room, they're like, what are we gonna call it? New Super Mario Brothers. And everyone's like, oh. Like, that's the type of like working title. The working title that just kind of accidentally stuck. And then like somebody, like, they printed the final box copy, they're like, hey, we're supposed to change this. They're like, oh, well, too bad. Now let's put it on everything. New 3DS, new 2DS. I don't know. Like, new Switch, I would not be fucking surprised.
I'd be upset, but I'd get it. Imran, do you have any predictions?
If we're thinking, okay, so follow me here. Mm-hmm. If Switch Lite was the portable Switch, Switch Normal is the hybrid Switch, and maybe a Pro is going to be an at-home Switch. Switch heavy, Switch big. I don't know, like Switch home.
Switch Max.
I think is pretty good.
XL was with their old branding, but I think that's
XL would make sense.
It's a little dated at this point, though.
Yeah.
Because, like,
there's like concerns of like, hey, we want to do a name that is like not too masculine sounding too. Because I know like they've always lived in fear of the fact that Game Boy is too masculine sounding a name, so enough women didn't buy it. And like, clearly there are women who are buying Switch in like large numbers, so you don't want to have a name that turns them off, I guess.
Interesting.
Like a Switch. Imran, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. I'm out. Later.
Good one, Bless. I liked that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Story number 3, MLB The Show 21 is coming to Xbox. I'm pulling this from Xbox themselves over on Xbox Wire. They write, "We're excited to share that with our announced extension with MLB and MLB players, MLB The Show 21 will be available for the first time ever on Xbox Series X and S and Xbox One. This is a very exciting moment for all of us, as the storied franchise will be accessible to more gamers than ever before. We would like to thank everyone at PlayStation, Xbox, Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball Players Association, and the San Diego studio for working diligently to bring MLB The Show to more players." Over on Xbox Wire, they also talk about cross-platform play and cross-progression. That's right. With the show live on multiple platforms, users will be able to play against each other online with cross-platform play in MLB The Show 21. In addition, cross-progression allows you to earn and use content on whichever platform and generation you choose. MLB The Show 21 launches April 20th, 2021. The standard edition on Xbox One is $59.99 US dollars and on Xbox Series X and S for $69.99 US dollars. Tim, it's happening. Finally.
Man, there's a lot here. First off, it's awesome to see that the game's coming to Xbox. Like, that's such an unexpected change that was announced last year. The cross-play, cross-progression, all of that. This is the future that I want to see from video games. And I love that it's starting. You know, it's beginning to be more of a normal thing, an expectation for games that you're able to keep your save and play somewhere else if you wanted to, even if that gets pretty expensive. And speaking of getting expensive, $69.99, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the next gen. The cost seems like it's going to continue to be that way, which is not a surprise, but sucks.
I should have sent this to Assets. Kevin, you might be able to find this if you care enough to show it. On the actual Xbox box for MLB The Show, there's a PlayStation logo, and it is the weirdest thing, man. Actually, I have it on Slack, Kevin, if you're looking for it.
Where is the weirdest thing
seeing a PlayStation on in the KFGD Slack. Seeing the PlayStation logo on an Xbox box feels weird. But it's cool. Like, I'm with you that it does feel like part of the future of cross progression and cross play. And here Kevin has brought it up. It's small, but if you squint and look closely at the box, yeah.
Right at the bottom there.
Yeah, right at the bottom there. There's the PlayStation Studios logo.
That's fucking weird. That's right. That seems
cats
wrong.
And dogs.
This whole thing
just fucking
wrong.
All of a sudden.
It's like, all right, I guess we're doing this.
Just having a little baseball.
I mean, it's kind of like Minecraft, right? Like, we've seen this before the other way of, like, the Microsoft logos on PlayStation games.
Yeah. But this is the first time in recent memory that, like, we've seen it the other way around, where PlayStation Studios is on another console.
Also,
and so,
at the time, Tim, we didn't respect Minecraft.
Oh, but now things have changed.
That's true.
Well, we're learning
now.
To love
very
it.
Much respects Minecraft.
Very much.
I still don't know how the. Actually, no, I do know how this started because we talked about it on stream.
Deep penetration.
Yeah, I can see that. No, for sure. PlayStation is playing the long game. I got a question here from BJ Bernardo, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, "Hi, y'all. Do you think we start seeing more PlayStation Studios games come to Xbox? Do you see more non-PlayStation Studio PlayStation exclusive games, i.e. Final Fantasy VII Remake, coming to Xbox? Or is the MLB The Show an anomaly, a one-off case scenario?" Thanks, BJ.
I definitely think it's a one-off scenario. I think that some non-exclusive game, non-PS studio, PS exclusive games like Final Fantasy VII Remake will come to Xbox, but that's different. When we're talking about PlayStation Studios games, I either forgot or don't know why this is happening, because it has to have something to do with MLB.
It's 100%
MLB. Like a more bizarre choice from PlayStation to make, because I can't think of an argument for why this would happen, because it's like, oh, well, the MLB has fans on Xbox, they want to make money. So, well, that logic applies to Spider-Man as well. So what's the difference there?
I think for on MLB side, there's probably more pressure and more like, hey, every other sports game is on multiple consoles, and there are zero comparable sport baseball games on Xbox. We're missing out on a lot of money by not releasing on Xbox, PlayStation. I'm sure like they pushed, because even here in the write-up from Xbox Wire, they talk about thanking Major League Baseball and the Players Association and all that. And even if you looked at Twitter this morning, where they announced MLB The Show coming to Xbox, all of the tweets I saw of people retweeting and being happy about it were people from Xbox. Like, it was Larry Herb and Aaron Greenberg and all these folks from Xbox being like, yeah, let's go. And the only tweet I saw from PlayStation was them tweeting the trailer of the game. I don't even know if they mentioned that the game's coming to Xbox. And so it's very much like, I very much see PlayStation being like, well, damn, we lost this one. Like, what? Mm-hmm. It is what it is. You know, MLB would like the show to be everywhere, and so we're going to have to put it out everywhere because they get the final say. Or they're the ones with the big bucks, and we would rather develop it and make that software money back than to just lose it overall.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. That's the quote unquote dangers of licensing, where you don't own the stuff. So there's other factors at play, powers that kind of control the decisions, even if it's not necessarily what you want to do.
Yeah. And BJ, I definitely see this as a one-off thing. I think PlayStation, as much as possible, they're like, no, we don't want to develop more games on Xbox and Switch and all that. Speaking of Switch, though, I'm surprised that there isn't MLB The Show on Switch. And I'm sure that is probably we don't want to put in the work to scale this game down for Switch because it is a less powerful system. But again, like with the amount of hardware out there for the Switch, I feel like they're missing out on a lot of sales. Well,
is it coming to Switch though?
I don't think so. No, I think it's just coming to Xbox and PlayStation. Yeah, there was an announcement today of Switch. But who knows? That might be in the pocket. That might be a future thing.
Yeah, no, nothing about Switch. Interesting.
We shall see. Story number four, Sonic is speeding his way onto Netflix. Speaking of cross-pollinization, this is from Adele Anchors at IGN.
Nope.
Market penetration, huh?
Yep.
Netflix has announced an all-new animated Sonic the Hedgehog series, Sonic Prime, set to premiere worldwide in 2022. The animated adventure will consist of 24 episodes, which will follow Sonic on a high-octane adventure where the fate of a strange new multiverse rests in his gloved hands. Whilst that might sound like a familiar premise, Netflix notes that the series is more than a race to save the universe, as the blue blur ultimately finds himself on a, quote, journey of self-discovery and redemption, end quote. Sonic Prime will be a collaboration between Sega and Wild Brain Studio, as the two companies are jointly handling production, distribution, and licensing of the series, alongside Ben 10 creators Man of Action Entertainment, who will be serving as showrunners and executive producers on the project, which was accidentally teased toward the end of last year. For some reason, it says lightsaber at the end of this article. I don't know what that's about. That might be a copy and paste error. Tim.
Yeah.
I was trying to get the kids to make a prediction that you were going to say lightsaber at some point. I was going to then ban myself and then reban my Kinda Funny unban my Kinda Funny Kevin account and then put all my points toward it. I was going to start insider betting, but it didn't work out.
Oh, my God, Kevin. That's hilarious.
I just really couldn't get them to start it going. It originally was Tim, and that was just going to be fate. But then I was like, well, I can control what Blessing says.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Man. I can't believe I got caught that way.
All right. So, Sonic Prime, Bless. I cannot find it in myself to get excited about this. I will say that as a whole, Netflix seems to be, at this point, not even doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on, hey, let's take established franchises that people know and love and turn them into animated content for our platform. And we've seen it with Fast and Furious Spy Racers, which is now on its second season somehow, which is crazy.
Wait, is it really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you been watching it? Is it worth watching?
It is not worth watching. It has moments, but it is not worth watching.
Is it is it a different cast? Is it like they don't have Dom and all of them in there?
It's Dom's little cousin or nephew or some shit. Gotcha. No, cousin. Dom has a cameo, but it's very brief. But anyways. But on top of that, we know that we got Tomb Raider coming. We have Sonic. There's the Resident Evil CG stuff and the live action stuff coming. So it's like there's a lot of video game focused things. And I'm like, until we start seeing them and start seeing the quality of them, I don't believe that they're going to capture the magic of the Castlevania show, because that so far has been like that's the gold standard for video game anime adaptations on Netflix. And this, from everything we're hearing, from knowing that Roger Craig Smith isn't part of it, from which, of course, the timing of all that has to be not a coincidence, right? Yep. And then looking at the logo of this, I'm kind of like, it doesn't look like.
Oh, you don't like the logo?
What I would want from a Sonic thing? Nah, it looks too. This reminds me more of Sonic Boom than it reminds me of Sonic Mania.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
The Sonic Boom cartoon, though. Pretty good.
Sonic Boom cartoon is great. So that is actually a good point. That at the end of the day, I am not the target audience for this show. You know, But the when Sonic Mania had the animated adventures or whatever they were called, Sonic Mania Adventures, I think they were called. Did you see these?
No.
And it was like they were animated in the style of that, the opening animation of Sonic Mania. And it's awesome. It's super, super cool and like super well done. But I don't see them turning that into a show like this. This seems, based on the premise, kind of like Sonic Generations, kind of the show, which has potential, but I don't know. Nothing will ever be good as the Sonic the Hedgehog Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like that's kind of what makes me excited about this is I feel like surprisingly there have been multiple iterations of animated Sonic stuff that has been good more than bad. You know, like you can even bring in the Sonic movie, like Sonic the Hedgehog movie that came out last year, was it? Wow, time is really
Oh, I thought you were talking about the OG animated one from like 92. No, that was a fucking fever dream.
But like the Sonic the Hedgehog movie with Jim Carrey, which is a sentence that feels weird to say now, surprisingly good. And I think with that, there's a lot of potential with actual Sonic TV to actually be a good thing. Like we have a history of Sonic on the big screen being good. That gives me some faith for this. I am with you though that like I don't think the logo doesn't look amazing, and the premise does sound kind of like a all right, like on a journey of self discovery and redemption. All right, oh, multiverse. Okay, let's see what this is about. Like none of that really sounds Sonic-y to me. But at the same time, like what does sound Sonic-y? Like everything about Sonic is very much what's edgy, what's fun, what's cool, what's for kids. Like that's pretty much Sonic summed up. And so this is probably going to be that. And with that, it probably won't be all the way for me, but I'm down to see what they try. I think this sounds like it could be pretty fun.
How into the Sonic cartoons in the 90s were you?
I was never super into them. I remember watching, there was a channel called Jetix. Or no, I don't even know if it was a channel. I think it was a programming slate on like
it was like
Fox.
Toonami.
It was like Toonami, but for like Fox or something like that. And there was a Sonic cartoon on there that I think might have been Sonic X or something like that.
Yeah, it was because Sonic Jetix was a Fox Kids thing. The Fox Kids eventually turned into Jetix, and they'd play a bunch of reruns of Sonic X, Kirby Right Back At Ya.
Yes. And, oh, dude, I fucking love Kirby Right Back At Ya.
There was an F-Zero anime.
Was there on Fox Kids on Jetix?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
How did I miss this?
Yeah, straight up, man. F fucking zero. But dude, back in the 90s, Sonic was crazy. There was three concurrent animated shows of Sonic the Hedgehog. There was The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. There was way more Looney Tunes than anything. Where there was like it was more based on the games than the other ones. Then there was Sonic Sat-Am is what they called it, which was the Saturday morning cartoon. That was awesome. That's what the comics are based on, with like Sally and all the like other characters that are trying to tell a deeper like cool story with like princesses and shit. And it's kind of like what the Sonic 06 game was trying to do, but like it did it really wrong. But that show's awesome. And then there was Sonic Underground, that was Sonic and a couple of his friends were in a band. That one didn't run as long. I think that was only one season. But then eventually there was Sonic X. That was like the, I want to say early 2000s.
Yeah, that would have been Sonic like 2003, 2004-ish.
And that was him hanging out with a bunch of humans and shit.
Yeah. I remember digging that as a kid. I don't remember much about it, but I remember digging it. My one question about this story, though, is with the recent announcement of Roger Craig Smith not continuing as Sonic and them now announcing a Sonic Netflix show, do you think this ties in to the next Sonic game?
Wouldn't be surprised.
I feel like the timing of everything would lead me to believe that whoever's voicing Sonic in this show is probably also going to voice Sonic in the game.
Yeah.
Which would make me think that maybe they're tied.
Yeah, probably.
We shall see.
Sonic Prime as the name of a game. I could see it.
Yeah, that lines up. Before we get into our next news story, I want to tell you about our sponsor, of course. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooklinen. Life is too short to sleep between anything less than really nice sheets. But maybe you looked at some retailers and calculated the years of interest you'd pay on just one setup and gave up. Trust me, go check out Brooklinen. Brooklinen was started by Rich and Vicky, who also tried to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost them an arm and a leg. And when they couldn't, they founded Brooklinen as the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups. Brooklinen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes. Brooklinen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. They are so confident you will love their products. They even offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. And Brooklinen is so much more than sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear, and more. Kind of Funny loves Brooklinen. Tim has Brooklinen sheets that match the rest of his home. And Greg loves the comfortable towels and how they help him hide his shame. Go to brooklinen.com. Use promo code GAMES to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code GAMES to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. Brooklinen.com and use promo code GAMES at checkout. We're also brought to you by Honey. These days, feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where today's sponsor, Honey, comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically tests them when you're checking out. Honey is basically your online shopping best friend. Here's how it works. You get Honey on your computer for free in two easy clicks. Then, when you're checking out on one of its over 30,000 supported sites, Honey pops up and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons for that site. If Honey finds working codes, it'll apply the best one to your cart. Kind of Funny loves Honey. Tim Gettys himself has used it for years, has saved thousands of dollars. He says himself, you're silly if you don't use it. It is free and easy.
Honey, honey, honey.
Honey, honey, honey is what he says. Joey Noel says, it's so sweet. Joey Noel says, quote, it's great because you only have to install it once and then it pops up anytime you're shopping on a site to get gold back on your purchase, end quote. Greg loves Honey in his tea. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Honey supports all kinds of retailers from tech and gaming sites to fashion brands to even food delivery. It's simple. If you have a computer, Honey should be on it. It's free and works with whatever browser you use. You can get Honey for free today at joinhoney.com/games. That's joinhoney.com/games so they know we sent you. Thanks, Honey, for supporting today's episode. We got two quick news stories left. Let's start with story number 5. Sumo Group acquires Pixelant Games. This is Marie de Alessandri at gamesindustry.biz. Sumo Group announced the acquisition of Polish studio Pixelant Games for an initial cash consideration of £250,000. Based in Rocław, the developer will become Sumo Digital's 10th studio and its first one in mainland Europe. Paul Rolletter and Adam Lesson, who co-founded Pixelant in July 2020, will remain at the head of the studio. The developer employs 13 people who are all working on Sumo Digital projects. Sumo aims at growing the studio's headcount rapidly, the studio announcement said, and focus on winning third-party contracts while continuing to work on Sumo Digital projects. Pixelant will also have the opportunity to work on an original IP. So go get them, Pixelant Games. Our last news story for the day, story number 6. There's another cool-looking AAA game coming out of China. Kevin, if you can pull this up for the people, I have a link for you in the doc under this news story. This is directly from our friend Daniel Ahmad, once again, ZugeEX on Twitter. Here is a short teaser for Project DT, an action game set in a futuristic sci-fi world. It combines Chinese characteristics and hardcore mecha action with a female lead character. The game is developed using Unreal Engine 4 by DigiSky, who are based in Chengdu, China. It is their first AAA title. I watched the trailer for this morning. This game looks awesome. It looks like a combination of Metal Gear and Nier Automata, which is all you have to do to sell a game to me.
Dude, yeah, this looks rad. When it first started, I was like, oh, this looks cool, but what's the actual gameplay? And like, oh, it's cool.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, this actually looks like something dope. There have been like quite a few games announced out of China over the last year or so, and big things are happening. I'm very excited to see what these games end up being, because between this and the other game, which I can't remember the exact name of it, chat or kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, if you can help me out. There was another very beautiful looking game coming out of China that was announced last year that also looks dope. And so if you have interest, look out for that. Tim, very excited to see when these games actually get published, but that's probably so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where do I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yes. Mighty Masu in chat gets it. The game I'm thinking of is Wukong. Wukong looks very dope. It's another beautiful looking game, AAA game coming out of China. And so Black Myth Wukong. And so very excited for those games. Out today, we got Glyph for Switch, Killer Infected One of Us for PC. Those are the two games that are out. Glyph for Switch and Killer Infected One of Us for PC. We got some new dates for you. Dragonborn is coming to Steam on February 12th. Everhood is coming to Switch and PC on March 4th. Bravery Network Online is coming to Steam on February 16th. Mosaic Nico Waifus 4 is coming to Steam on February 12th, 2 days before Valentine's Day. Get hyped for that. And then Wheel of Fate is coming to Steam on February 12th. We got a deal of the day for you. This comes from Wario 64. February free games are up right now on Prime Gaming. You're going to get Monster Prom, Hot Seat Edition, Spinch, Stealth Bastard Deluxe, Swim Sanity, and Table Manners. Hell yeah. People can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get their questions read on the show for reader mail. I got two questions here, but we only got time for one. And so, Tim, I'm going to I'm going to have you choose whether we want to talk about some of them GameStop stocks or whether we want to talk about Blue Point and Metal Gear Solid.
Let's do Blue Point.
We're going Blue Point and Metal Gear Solid. We're going to save the other question for the post show. Nick Knack writes in and says, "Hey, Blim. I've been thinking about the rumored Metal Gear remake and the discussions you've been having on air, specifically about justifying a $70 price tag, and I've developed a theory. Blue Point isn't just working on one Metal Gear. Blue Point is working on three Metal Gears, specifically a collection of Metal Gear Solid, Sons of Liberty, and Snake Eater, all redone from the ground up for PS5. I know that sounds crazy, but hear me out.
It is.
MGS 1 and 2 are pretty light on the environments and would be pretty small even if they were remade for today's platforms. Together, just in terms of environments and actual modeled assets, I would say they are around the same size as Snake Eater. Plus, most, if not all, the dialogue could just be brought over from the originals and HD remasters. Having all three games would be an incredible value proposition. It would also open these amazing games up to a whole new younger audience and would be a great way to celebrate Metal Gear's 35th anniversary in 2022. Plus, who wouldn't want a remake of Snake Eater? What do you guys think? Am I lolly lule loco, or have I stumbled onto a global conspiracy that goes all the way up to the top? I need scissors. 61 Nick Knack. Tim, what do you think of Nick Knack's theory here?
I get where he's coming from and going, but I don't think he's right. I think that there's no chance that Metal Gear Solid 3 would be part of this if it actually were to be done this way. However, MGS 1 and 2 do make a bit more sense, because he's right. The locations are limited in those games, and the characters and looks of the characters are shared across them, where the age difference between Solid Snake in the two games is not much. You wouldn't have to do too much to change it, whereas MGS3 has an entirely new cast of characters, and or old cast, depending how you want to look at it. And the year difference between the characters is a lot more vast. So I think that would cause problems. And it's just a very different looking game. But
yeah,
I could be kind of into it. Although I do think there's a higher chance, and maybe I'm just getting fucking crazy here, but some type of Metal Gear, Metal Gear 2, and Metal Gear Solid remake.
That's what I'm talking about, Tim. That's what I want. That's what I want them to bridge the gap between Metal Gear Solid 5 and Metal Gear Solid. Because that gap right there, there is so much story that can be told. And it's a shame that Kojima wasn't able to finish that up, because it felt like that's where he was going. Like, it felt like the game after Metal Gear Solid 5 ideally would have been the remake of Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 and telling the story to bridge that gap. And so if I could choose anything, it would be Blue Point remaking those games. But it's difficult because I would also want Kojima to be involved in some way in that, because I feel like it, I feel like that's his story to kind of wrap up and tell. That said, I do like Nick Knack's theory of them doing Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear Solid 2. Though I do think Metal Gear Solid 3, if they were to go about, if they were to remake Metal Gear Solid 3, I'd want that to be its own standalone thing.
Me too.
I think you could take that and give it the Blue Point treatment, and it could stand alone as a $60 or $70 game. Whereas Metal Gear Solid 1, I think that's more difficult to do. Metal Gear Solid 2 is a bit of a shorter game compared to, or more contained game compared to Metal Gear Solid 3 and beyond. Mm-hmm. So to package them up that way, Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2 would be awesome. What Nick Knack is getting at here also sounds a bit like what they're doing with Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which I would be down for, though that sounds less substantial than what we usually get from Blue Point, with modern Blue Point being Demon's Souls and Shadow of the Colossus. And so, who knows? Do you guys hear Andy?
Yeah.
Do they hear Andy, Kevin?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. He's screwing some shit up. I'm gonna, you shouldn't hear him now.
Gotcha. I got very stunned. Yeah, I was like, why is Andy whispering nonsense in our ear like the ending of Metal Gear Solid 2 spoilers? Now it's time to squad up. I got a squad up here from Matt, who writes in and says, hello. I would like a squad up shout out to help promote a gaming tournament we're holding this week to raise money for Macmillan, a cancer charity in the UK. Many of us have lost family and friends to cancer, and COVID has left many charities seriously struggling for funds. Every day this week, we are playing games. Tonight at 8:15 p.m., we are starting with a friendly game of Among Us, and from Tuesday, two teams will compete in a competition starting with Fortnite. We'll also be playing Fall Guys, Apex, FIFA 20, and Warzone. The winner will be announced on Sunday. Everything kicks off at 8:15 p.m. UK time. You can watch it on twitch.tv/nudejob2020. That's definitely a username. Nudejob2020. That's NOODDJOB 2020. If people can donate, they can go to gameheroes.macmillan.org.uk/fundraising/nudejob2020. That'll be in the description for you guys to check out. A shout out would really help us out in raising money for a great cause. Have a lovely morning. Again, if you want to check that out live, Matt will be streaming over on twitch.tv/nudejob2020. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, what's up, Tim?
It's Kevin.
All right, sorry, what's up, Kevin?
I would just like to explain that I was not snickering at the little foundation they're doing there. Andy just said he apologized, then it came out of nowhere, and you guys couldn't hear it, and I thought that was funny.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Did he apologize just to you, or did
I like messaged him, and like he clearly just read the Slack and was like, oh, sorry, Kevin. It came out of nowhere. It caught me off guard, you know, and I knew you guys couldn't hear it. And something about that made me giggle.
I'm caught off guard for sure.
Let's see here.
Were you wronging?
Let's see here. Kebab says the Vita came out in 2012, and I don't know what that's from.
That's interesting. I heard we're
that
all
might be from some other.
I'm apologizing like Andy. I'm apologizing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, could you guys hear that? Could you guys hear that?
Oh, I see. Kenpo writes in with a "you're wrong" and says new job is actually no odd job. That makes way more sense. That's a great username.
No odd job.
When you read it all together, it looks like new job.
It does look like new job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
That makes way more sense.
Still not great, though. You know what I mean?
But it's a GoldenEye reference. I love it.
What's
a Nailbologist here says, Miss News, Xbox Series X/S sold its entire stock available last quarter and will have a shortage until at least June.
Kebab says it's worth pointing out that the production company making Sonic Prime, Wildbrain, are the modern form of Deke Entertainment, who made the original three Sonic cartoons. This is a multiverse show, so imagine a crossover with Sonic Saturday Morning Cartoon and Underground. That would be freaking awesome, and I would watch the hell out of that.
Wait, is that D-I-C?
Yeah.
That's how it's pronounced?
Deke. Yeah. Remember the cartoons?
There was a weird voice.
End,
yeah, you're right. You're
and
right.
It would have the little thing like, Deke.
Yeah, it'd always be like, Dick.
Every
time they said it. They're saying it wrong, you know?
Yeah, give it some hard dick.
This is... This is the last you're wrong. I'm going to pull. We went really far. This is from Timmy Buddy, and you're wrong. Jetix was a Disney venture that first aired on Fox Kids in 2001 and then moved to Toon Disney in 2004. Then in 2009, Disney did away with Jetix when they turned Toon Disney into Disney XD, where they still air Jetix style anime shows like Pokemon X and Y, Beyblades, and Yo-Kai Watch.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Beyblade. Remember Beyblade? I used to love Beyblade back in the day.
Beyblade was after my time. I was also honestly like a little too old even for Yu-Gi-Oh, but me and my friends were like, fuck that. Age is just a number. And then we still played Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh, well, Yu-Gi-Oh is just good overall, though.
Yu-Gi-Oh is fucking fantastic.
I go back and watch Yu-Gi-Oh every now and then, and that show holds up. I love Yu-Gi-Oh.
It's great, man. Joey was my boy.
Oh, yeah, Joey Wheeler. Kunai with chain. That was all. That's what he always said. Kunai with chain.
Yeah. If you're watching this,
what's up,
Kevin? Sorry, I was just going to ask you, do you ever own any Beyblades?
No, because my parents sucked at buying me toys.
Got it.
They got me the MP4, and that was it for me. Like, they wouldn't buy anything.
They were like, hey, here's a book.
They were like, here's a
book, the Bible.
I had a friend, Stephen O'Heaney. He had a Beyblade. He had two Beyblades, and I was always jealous of him. Always jealous.
Did he not let you play with the other one? Did he not have
no? He did. Every time I would go over to his place, and he would let me play Beyblades, and I was so.
Like he'd have the cool one.
No, he always had the
good one. The basic one.
Yeah.
It's got one blade and no bay.
Let's get to the post show.
This week's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily go like this. Tomorrow it is Greg and Gary Witta for Witta Wednesday on Tuesday. On Wednesday, it is me and Imran Khan. Thursday, it is Greg and Tim. And then Friday, it is Greg and Laura Kate Dale for Kind of Funny Spotlight. Of course, if you're watching this live on Twitch, after this is Snowbike Mike, Andy, and Nick watching some fun clips and playing some of that there Warzone. This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, it's time to duel.
Whoa, you nailed that.
Thank you. I